You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man, did it get sanctimonious yesterday? Talking about the Eagles, the Giants, the integrity of the game, the National Football League. Welcome to the program. Still dealing with the aftershocks of what happened on Sunday night. Sal Palantonio's appearance yesterday. And Sal was saying that he was embarrassed for what he saw with the Eagles, and a lot of the fans in Philadelphia were outraged. And, you know, he may speak for a section of the Philadelphia fan base. But look, if I'm a Philadelphia fan, my thought would be we kept the Giants from winning the division. Also, we improved our draft pick. I'm okay. You want to give us heat for 24 hours? We'll sit in that cone of silence, we'll take it, and then we'll move on. And that would be my approach if I'm an Eagles fan. Like, you know, it's every year we have these moments where a team sits some players, somebody has to win, I got to rely on you to win. You know what? What I would do is I would make sure that I didn't have my fate in the hands of another team. That's what I would do. And the Giants, you know, they had to wait. They had to wait and see if the Eagles were going to step up and play the best players. And you know what? It's on them. They won 6 games this year. You're not a good football team, but that didn't stop their head coach, Joe Judge, from saying the following yesterday.
To look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day-in, day-out basis and empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
All right. I you know, if he says that privately, I understand it. All the other teams did the same thing that you went through, Joe Judge. They had to go through all the protocols. You know, you had players who probably missed anniversaries or birthdays and Thanksgiving. But you know what? Joe Judge should take inventory of what the Giants had done before. The Giants benched Eli Manning. They benched Kurt Warner when Kurt Warner had a winning record to bring in Eli Manning. Now, who gave you a better chance to win that next game? Kurt Warner did, or Eli over Daniel Jones. But you can look at this, take care of your own business. That's really what this is all about. How about you win 8 or 9 games? We don't have this conversation. I mean, it's the NFC East. It's the reason why I picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. I thought, well, they got at least a couple of easy wins here. And somebody has to win the division. But Washington won it. They don't have to apologize for winning it. But, you know, this sanctimonious, oh, my God, the shield, the integrity. Okay, I get it. I mean, this is who Joe Judge is. Like, he's right out of a movie script. If you say, hey, we need a coach who says corny things, but he really believes it, he's your guy. I mean, his last name's Judge. He's judge and jury. Like, okay, I'm fine with it. That's who you are. That's what you believe in. but you can't be worried about somebody else. How about you have a quarterback who can run 80 yards and not fall down? Oh, the Eagles needed to help us. Okay, I get it. And Doug Peterson, it was a must-lie situation. Did he really want to see what he had? Did he really want to see? He doesn't even know what he has with Jalen Hurts yet. Because they shouldn't know what they have with Jalen Hurts. He's a 50% passer. I don't know if he's a starting quarterback. I know he gave them a lift. I know that it was fun to watch him. But I don't know if you go, what, we've seen enough of Jalen Hurts. I would have played Jalen Hurts the whole game. I don't need to see Nate Sudfeld. You got a quarterback situation already. You don't need to add to the quarterbacking situation. If you have 3 quarterbacks, you don't have 1 quarterback. So Joe Judge, you can say all of those things. say it privately. Because what happens if the Giants go 12-4 and they have a meaningless game at the end of the year? Now, what's Joe going to do? Are you going to rest Saquon Barkley? Going to rest Daniel Jones? I mean, these things are always short-sighted because we've seen, you know, time and time again, and we're adding another game to the schedule, another potential meaningless game. It's going to happen more, not less. Do I have a problem with what the Eagles were doing? Yes, if you want to play Nate Sudfeld, start him. It's just you're down three, you don't go for the game-tying field goal, and all of a sudden Jalen Hurts, who is surprised on the bench, he's not injured. I think everybody goes, wait, did Jalen Hurts get hurt? Wait, what happened? And then all of a sudden, that's when Doug Peterson, did he go, you know, I got to wait and put Nate in when, you know, it's really dramatic moment there. You know, I want to test him here. You want to start him? Start him. I'm good with that. But it's a must-lie situation. You kept the Giants from winning the division. Not that Doug Peterson cares about that, but if I'm an Eagles fan, only speaking, if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I would approach this and go, all right, ugly year. Let's get out of here. Giants didn't win the division. We bump up three spots, you know, in the draft order. All right, let's go in the offseason, kind of figure out what the hell we're doing here. But, you know, you wait until the end of the game or late in the game and you put in your third string quarterback because now is when he's earned that right to go in there. Did he either earn the right to start the game because you want to see what you have? How about you see how he prepares? If you're going to have him start the game, then you see how he let him prepare for the game as he would if he were a starter. Not, hey, we're going to bring you in from the bullpen. I mean, this isn't Rivera and the Yankees where you go, yep, enter Sandman, enter Sudfeld. No! What do you want, McLovin?
Well, would you have ripped the Eagles if before the game Peterson had said, I'm going to play Nate Sudfeld in the fourth quarter? You know, which obviously he did. And Doug Peterson cannot come off a plan. I've watched him coach a million games. Once he has a plan, it's happening. So he said, coming in the game, I'm going to play Sudfeld in the fourth quarter. I got to figure out what's going on here. Because next year, I may have to sign a high-priced backup to Jalen Hurts. So nobody would have ripped him and said, it's an exhibition game. Who cares? They already benched everybody. You know, nobody was playing that game except for Hurts.
But McLovin, he didn't have a plan.
Yeah, he said he had a plan. He didn't admit it, but his plan was clearly, I'm going to play Nate Sudfeld in the fourth quarter.
No, admit your plan. If it's a meaningless game, then who cares what your plan is if you announce it?
He probably should have, yeah.
Why is it the players did not know? Why is it some of the players on the defense?
Why would they know? They're different.
Upset. They're upset.
They should be upset. They stole money for 16 games.
Okay.
They were terrible.
That's a completely different conversation.
I don't think so. Because I don't think these Eagles players have a right to be upset with anyone except themselves. And same with Joe Judge. I don't know why they're blaming other people. They should be blaming themselves. And that's all they should say after the season. It's my fault.
That was my point. That was my point with the Giants. Just shut up. Go into the offseason. Get right. Figure out if you got a franchise quarterback. Saquon Barkley's health next year. Like, what are you going to do in the draft? Move on. Don't be lamenting the fact that Washington and somehow the integrity of the NFL was at stake there. The Shield, the National Football League. I get it. You won six games. Blame yourself. You put your fate in the hands of some other team. And yes, Joe Judge, you had to endure all of those things. We have to endure these things too as citizens. Like, we all compromise. We all sacrifice. People on the front lines, not your football team. We appreciate you playing. But every other team had to go through this as well. I mean, this is one of those where it just spiraled out of control. Like, once somebody lit the fuse, and then everybody got a chance to get their opinion heard. Like, this was a sports anger moment. And maybe it got to me as well. I've been yelling at the dog for, you know, 2 weeks now. I got to yell at somebody else. Yeah, go outside. Come on. Why aren't you potty trained? Yeah, see.
But have you ever met an NFL coach who could resist a good chance to posture a little bit and
be like, I haven't taken a playoff since I was 5 years old, okay? And I'm not going to start now, all right?
Yeah. I mean, and any coach in Joe Judge's position is jumping right at that chance to be like, you know, we ain't soft. We ain't taking days off.
And as I said, this is who Joe Judge is. I don't think he's playing a role. I think that's who he is. It's just, I get it. But the sanctimonious nonsense about this. Did Doug Peterson make a mistake in his approach? Yes, I believe he did. And I think the timing part of this, if you want to play Nate Sudfeld, then play him. If you want to take inventory and find out what you have, then play him. I'm fine with that. But don't tell me, hey, we had all of our starters out there. You did. But then you brought in Nate Sudfeld. Were you trying to win the game? Did he give you the best chance to win the game? And the answer is no. That's all. And I think deep down he knows that. Jalen Hurts gave you a better chance, even as bad as Jalen Hurts was playing. And he wasn't playing well. But I don't think that Doug Peterson was being honest here. I don't think he was being, and I don't think he could have been. But it's just this outpouring. And look, I didn't know Sal Palantonio was being serious yesterday. Because at one point I started laughing, and I just wasn't sure. Here's what Sal had to say yesterday.
If I'm the NFL, if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm putting on my Kennesaw Mountain Landis pants on right now.
Uh-oh.
And I'm doing a forensic investigation of what went down.
You're being serious.
Totally.
Yeah, I didn't know. Because the NFL doesn't, you know, they want to prevent this. But what do you say? Hey, we demand that you play your best players. You can't. And the NFL, out of greed, is adding another week of games, and they're going to have even more situations like this. What's the NFL going to do? Hey, stop doing that while we add the potential for more meaningless games. Yeah, Paul.
People are already calling for the NFL to have a draft lottery. Andrew said it the other day. A lot of people are printing it out. And when you add another game, the entire month of December is going to be people jockeying for the first pick. About four or five teams every year will be pulling what the Jaguars did by benching people.
This program is brought to you by the great folks at mdrive.com, the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you get energized, stronger, lean. See, if I'm not doing mDrive, I'm not this fired up today. Just get free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with mDrive. Yes, Todd.
I don't know how you say you got to give him some reps in the fourth quarter. If you're going to give him some reps and you want to see what you have with him, then you got to have some kind of play calling to show that he can prove to you what he can do in that situation. The last couple of plays were a joke. They didn't make any effort to get the ball downfield. So how are you learning about your quarterback by having someone run a 7-yard out pattern?
Wait, are you outraged because I'm outraged?
I'm trying to at least match
it
your
It sounds
hours.
Like you're trying to be outraged because I'm outraged.
When I watched that, I had no problem with what Sal Pal said, and I didn't think any of it was a joke because I thought that was ridiculous. You know, integrity of the game, I know all that sounds dramatic, but in the moment, fourth quarter.
How do you investigate this? How do I hold you accountable for
that? That's a tough thing. But for the eye test.
I know, but it's sanctimony. It just feels so much like, let me stand up here and lecture you on integrity.
And Joe Judge has to say that, I think, if nothing else, for his fans and the players to show he's got their back.
No.
I think he needs to publicly say that he was pissed off about it.
No. Take care of your own business, Joe. Don't tell Doug Peterson how to coach his team. He's won a Super Bowl. You've been on a Super Bowl staff. But you can't be saying this about another team. He should just say, we got some things that we need to take care of and be better next year. And then we don't worry about if Philadelphia beats Washington. We won 6 games. We got a lot of work to do. I want to thank everybody for all the sacrifices they made. And we'll be better next year. Yes, Eden.
It does seem very Bill Belichickian, though, like to not tank a game for a better pick. Yeah, I mean, like if there's ever a coaching tree that he could have come from where it's like, no, we're going to play hard every day. Next man up. Let's keep going. You're like, okay.
Yeah, Paul.
Well, I mean, every team does that. Like Fritz was saying, it's just the timing of it. Every team benches a better quarterback for a young quarterback who's promising. You know, Tua got the start, and he was not better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember years ago, Case Keenum and Jared Goff. Case Keenum was playing well. They bench him for Jared Goff because that's the future. It was the timing of it. Like you said yesterday, Dan, it's national TV and a competitive game, and to pull it then. And as what McLovin was saying, if it was a full announcement that they were going to do this, he didn't announce he was going to do it in the fourth quarter. Because that's coaches don't make those announcements. So it just took everybody by surprise in the moment.
I was surprised at Sal Palantonio speaking for the Philadelphia fan. Now, he lives there. He's been there for decades. I just, as a Philadelphia fan, like, why do I care?
See, I think the thing that stuck out yesterday is what Seton said is, like, you haven't seen enough Jalen Hurts to remove him from a competitive game. I would think you'd want to give Jalen Hurts every snap you can this season. Because I think, did the Eagles have the sixth pick in the draft?
Yeah.
They're still in play for a high-end quarterback if Jalen Hurts is not their guy.
Oh, they can't bring in another quarterback.
Well, true, possibly. Probably.
They can't.
They got Hurts on the
cheap. They can't handle. How are you going to get Nate Sudfeld playing time, Paulie?
That's always been a priority of mine. I loved him at IU. I should be a Sudfeld guy. Yeah, remember, I loved him at IU.
Oh, yeah. You were the Sudfeld guy.
Mr. Sudfeld.
Yes. Yes, McLovin.
You know why you didn't need to? You were not learning anything from Jalen Hurts because that was a full-on exhibition game. The Eagles weren't playing tons of starters. There was nothing to learn in that game against this scrubby Washington team.
How could I learn about Nate Sudfeld then?
That's a good point.
Thank you. Yes, Todd.
But to say he's been here 4 years, he's earned the right to get some reps, and that's it. I just can't get past that. I'm not saying you can't play him at all, but that's ridiculous that's your excuse for putting him in that situation and those play calls where he has no chance of showing you anything.
Yes, Eden.
It's almost like winning that Super Bowl was the worst thing to happen to the Eagles because ever since then, they haven't been able to figure out what the hell to do with quarterbacks. Is it Foles? It Wentz? I don't know. Is it Wentz again? No, he's pouting. Let's bring in Hurts, but Wentz is still pouting, but we're stuck with this monstrous contract.
And there's the Nate Sudfeld
situation.
Yes, of course. Yes, McLean.
And could Doug Peterson coach? That's the one.
Oh,
is it Frank Reich who won that Super Bowl? I'm so confused, he says.
Well, I think Doug Peterson just shined the spotlight on his job status a little bit brighter after all of this. Yes, Paul.
I just love the NFL. You think like week 17, we're going to talk about Tom Brady leading his team to the playoffs or Roethlisberger.
The Cleveland Browns are in.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is completely back winning the MVP. No, it's all Nate Sudfeld all the time.
Yep, and that's the way it should be. By the way, welcome to the program. As you could tell, I got a little ahead of myself. You can dial us up if you like.
We crushed that segment.
Yeah, we did.
Like 18 minutes.
Yep. Was that a better segment than Sal Palantonio yesterday, which is...
No, the Sal Pal fallout was widespread nationally yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a story of the year in sports so far.
Yeah.
5 days in.
Yeah.
Story of the year, segment of the year in one day?
Oh, yeah.
For Sal Pal.
Sal Pal is like leader in the clubhouse. Man. He's got a cigar in his mouth.
I don't know if he wants to be the leader in the clubhouse. He got social media wasn't too kind to him yesterday.
Well, those new kids don't understand work ethic.
Of course not. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider, will join us with all these coaching situations here. What is the best job that's open right now? And where there's smoke, there's fire with Urban Meyer. Is he the guy to take over in Jacksonville? So Ian will join us a little bit later on. And, the Chargers job is open, and I think it's a great opening. And I'll explain. Have that coming up as well. Heisman is awarded tonight. Chris Fowler, who's hosting. Fowler will join us coming up next hour. And as we mentioned yesterday, Adam Gase was fired. Doug Marrone was fired. Anthony Lynn was fired as well. And we'll ask Ian if there are more firings on the way. What a cheery note. Hey, Ian, thanks for joining us. Any other firings on the way? It's 20 after the hour. We'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Got a busy day. 20 after the hour, just getting started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. You want to keep your family, your home safe. And if there's a break-in, a fire, flooding, medical emergency, that's why you need Simply Safe Home Security. It delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. Simply Safe, you get cameras and sensors. But, you know, the best part is the professionals who are monitoring you know, everything that's going on. You got the best in the business. They got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, EMTs. And you order it. Go online, you order it, simplysafedan.com. They also throw in a free home security camera just because you're a listener of this show. You set it up 30 minutes or less. Don't need any technical support. Don't need electricians. There's no contracts to sign. See, that's when you know somebody truly believes in what they have, their product. Because you get locked in these long-term contracts. Ask yourself, if you have, you're with somebody else, why do I have this long-term contract? You don't have to do that with Simply Safe. They earn your trust every single day. SimplySafeDan.com for your free security camera today. SimplySafeDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get to phone calls coming up. People still fired up about this Eagles situation. Joe Judge has his press conference yesterday. Doug Peterson was asked in his press conference yesterday. I don't think he answered it, but he was asked. But it's not going away. You know, and the playoffs are starting, and there's some great matchups here. Like, who would have thought if I said, you know what you're going to be talking about? The first week of January, Nate Sudfeld. I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't want to be talking about Nate Sudfeld? All right, Chris Fowler hosting the Heisman Trophy ceremony next hour. Daniel Jeremiah, who works for the NFL Network, but he also is the analyst for the Chargers in their games. He'll join us a little bit later on as well. We make way for Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter, @RapSheet, and you can see Ian on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning, Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Ian, thanks for joining us. Where are you philosophically on the Eagles situation?
I wasn't that offended. I mean, I was watching like everyone else, just kind of, I mean, there was so much coaching stuff going on. Gase got fired during the game, but I was watching, and all my friends, a lot of Giants fans, friends from home, from high school, were all pissed, and everybody was freaking out. And I couldn't find the anger and annoyance. I mean, the Steelers left all their starters home. The Bills played a bunch of backups. They just – I mean, the fact that Nate Sudfeld was bad isn't – I mean, it's the Eagles' fault because he was on their roster, but it's not totally their fault. I mean, I couldn't find the anger. I don't know. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I understand that the Giants want to see, a fully equipped Eagles team, and they want to go out there and win and put your best, effort forward. But, Ian, we're going to run into even more of these games when they add Week 17, more meaningless games where more teams will be resting starters. So the NFL can't, Sal Palantonio yesterday said, the NFL should investigate the Eagles. I don't know how you investigate that, right? Yeah. Hey, did you try to win?
I mean, right. I mean, so Doug Peterson says, yeah, we tried to win. And it's like, well, yeah, but you also tried to evaluate for next year. Whatever you were trying to find out on Nate Sudfeld, you probably found out. I would also say this. I loved what Joe Judge said, too. Like, the Eagles did what was best for their team. They evaluated players. They got a better draft pick, which I don't think they were trying to do, but I'm just saying they played a lot of not good players, and that's what happened. They did what's best for them, and I think Joe Judge's message is something that's going to resonate with Giants fans, and I know it has already resonated with Giants players. They both did what's best for them, and I am really okay with that.
Yeah, I hope Joe Judge doesn't go 12-4 and rest his starters next year. Just want to let Joe know, if you plan on being around this game a long time, chances are it's going to come back and bite you there. But the openings that we have right now, the best opening, in your opinion, is where?
See, everyone says the Jaguars, right? Because you got the number one pick, and you got all the money, and you got actually multiple draft picks, and you got a patient owner who's lived through several years of Doug Marrone. I would say the Jaguars is a very, very good opening. I kind of feel like the Chargers is the best, though, because like the Jaguars are going to draft a quarterback, presumably Trevor Lawrence, but we'll see. Especially if it's Urban Meyer, we'll see. I think Trevor Lawrence is a great prospect, and I think a lot of people think he's the best prospect we've seen in quite a while. We've not seen him on an NFL field. I have seen Justin Herbert on an NFL field. He is very, very good. He is, I mean, really good. If I'm a head coach, I wouldn't mind taking over that because, first of all, you got a defense. You got some players. That is a really good personnel group. Tom Telesco does a great job, the GM. They got talent. You're really just coming in with a chance to go to the playoffs your first year. I love the Chargers job.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you on that because I have my quarterback. I do have some star players. You know, they haven't been healthy, but I do have star players. I don't think there's an inordinate amount of pressure on you with the Chargers because you're in Los Angeles. So you can go 8-8 and people will go, all right, we're starting to rebuild here. You're the second team in that building. And it just feels like you could go in there and kind of ease into that job. You go into Jacksonville, you get Trevor Lawrence. Now, all of a sudden, all eyes are on you. Like, all right. And if it's Urban Meyer, now, you know, people are going to expect greatness out of Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and I think the Urban Meyer rumors, which, let's be real, I stoked a little bit with my reports on Saturday and Sunday, are true. They're interested. He's interested. I would consider him the front runner. They got to go through the process. But right now, I would say there is a legitimate chance of that happening. That is going to be, you know, when media is allowed to do human things again, like travel, everyone's going to be at their training camp. We're going to go live from their camp. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. It's going to be, sorry, let me turn my phone off. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and everyone's going to be there. And look, Joe Burrow was a great quarterback. Okay. He was a very promising rookie. I thought he did a great job. They won very few games. It's hard to have a rookie quarterback come in and win a lot of games. Jags might be much improved next year and go 6-10. That is a hard situation. Chargers easier.
And I know that the report is out there that Urban Meyer would be getting maybe $12 million a year. Is that?
I don't believe that's true.
Okay.
I mean, he's gonna be richer than I am. $12 million is not accurate. You know, he deserves a lot. He's going to get a lot, but that number is not relevant, from what I understand.
And then the Jets situation, what do you do at number two? And you have Sam Darnold. How good is that Jets opening?
I'd say it's pretty good. You know, there are some questions, though. The roster needs a lot of help. They are not talented at all. And I think for Darnold, you know, he played well enough at the end of the year that my gut is if they want to trade him, which they probably should do, you'll be able to get a second rounder plus or a late first rounder for Sam Darnold. That's fine. That's a very good investment. Early first round, started for 3 years. Then you get a late one coming back. Then you have more first round picks, and they have plenty. It's just historically they have not been good. They need to fix the building still. They need to kind of come together a little bit, I would say. And then there's the what happens when Woody Johnson comes back. And honestly, I don't have the answer to that. That's a question.
He's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. Eric Bieniemy going to have his choice of these jobs?
I hope he gets a job. I think he's deserving. He's going to get, you know, several interviews. I know he's already got some. I think he actually interviewed yesterday, Lions maybe. I think he actually interviewed twice yesterday. He's a really good candidate. It is time. I hope he gets a job. But the problem is, you know, there's six jobs. Let's assume for the sake of this argument that Urban Meyer ends up in Jacksonville, then that's five jobs. It just takes one owner to make the independent decision that this is your guy. The odds are still not with him just because there's so many good candidates. So I'm not convinced he gets one. I just know he's deserving. And honestly, I kind of hope he does. It's just, there's a lot of other really good candidates too, and that's a problem.
He's older than Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, my buddy Tom Pelissero does a list of sort of up and coming coaches. And he says, all right, if you're 40, you know, if you're older than 40, you're not on the list. Cause you know, like I'm older than 40, I'm not up and coming. I'm just old. You're old too, by the way. No offense. But Eric Bieniemy hasn't been on the list in forever, but people think he's still up and coming. Like he's been there, but yeah, it is time.
And I start to look at these quarterbacking situations here, and, you know, you start with the Jets, what happens? We have this influx of first-round draft picks, potential first-round draft picks, but then I've got guys like Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Mitchell Trubisky. Like, these waves of quarterbacks, you know, it keeps happening. We always say, boy, we haven't seen this in a long time. Here's another wave that's coming. And we thought the wave last year was big and lasting, and it probably will be. But what do you expect to happen with some of the veteran quarterbacks?
Yeah, last year was a weird anomaly, I thought, because you had Brady and Rivers and legit quarterbacks changing teams. We're going to see more of that this year. So here's my early read on the situation.
Okay.
I have a hard time imagining that Stafford or Matt Ryan gets traded, because think about it. The trades happen in March. That's when you get the value. That's when you clear the salaries, figure out what you can use in free agency. Trades happen in March. The Lions and the Falcons are not going to know who their quarterbacks are in March. They'll probably know in April during the draft, but they're not going to know in March. So I don't think either of those guys gets traded now, because you're not going to trade them without knowing who the answer is. Is it possible Garoppolo gets traded? I think it's possible. They came out and said yesterday that they expect him to be back. I would say we'll see. I would expect him to be back unless they get a better offer or a better answer, like all of us. And then, you know, Carson Wentz, I think there's a real chance he gets traded as well. Indy would be a really good option for him. But, I mean, we're going to see a lot of movement and a lot of needs. I mean, what are the Saints going to do at quarterback next year? That's a big question, too. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting offseason.
Wait, you don't think they're sold? That Sean Payton's not sold on who's Drew's replacement?
I mean, I would just say, and I don't want to get an angry call from Sean Payton, my guess, based on my eyeballs and what I know, is that they will probably be looking for a quarterback next year to complement Taysom Hill, who they also love. They love him. I know they love him, but I'm not sure he's the quarterback in the future there.
He's not a starting quarterback.
I mean, I just know when I talk to defensive coordinators, head coaches, general managers watching Taysom Hill, they were intrigued, but they were definitely not sold.
Oh, I'm intrigued, but I think Jameis Winston is more of a NFL quarterback, and hopefully he got this, you know, hands-on tutorial from Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and maybe that'll help his judgment when he gets on the field. Let me leave you with this. Have the Dolphins seen enough of Tua where they're convinced they got the right guy?
I think so. I have not heard otherwise.
Okay.
But I'm going to say this, like, if you have an opportunity to get better at quarterback as a team, you should take it. It's your responsibility to take it, right? So I cannot say, I almost, looking at the quarterback situations across the league, there's only like 10 where you'd say they are done, right? Like, they're done. They're not taking a quarterback. I would say for the Dolphins, I think they are done, but I'm sure they're going to evaluate all the quarterbacks in the draft. I mean, Tua is a rookie. Most rookie quarterbacks don't play, and if they do play, they're not good. They make mistakes. They throw interceptions. They look bad. They don't get the offense. The problem with Tua is we saw him play. So I think they are sold, but I would not necessarily bet my life savings on.
Good to visit with you as always. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy time for you. Thank you, Ian.
All right, back to my phone. Take care, man.
That's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Insider. You can see him on NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning. That'll be Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Yeah, I watched Tua, and I can't help but think of Marcus Mariota. Doesn't look threatening. And, you know, he obviously had the devastating injury. But that's what I'm waiting to see. And you also go back to, who was he throwing to? He was throwing to what will turn out to be 4 first-round wide receivers. Judy, Ruggs, Waddle, and the potential Heisman Trophy winner, DeVonta Smith. But I think that we're going to give Tua a little more time because of the health, because of the hip. I do believe that. Even though if you're a Dolphins fan and you look around. Now, the Dolphins did shut down Justin Herbert. Like, Tua looked pretty good in that matchup with him. But if you're a Dolphins fan, you're looking around going, Joe Burrow's the real deal. Because he was surrounded by talent at LSU. He was not surrounded by talent in Cincinnati. And he played really well. And then you got Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert wasn't a great college quarterback. And was it David Pollack who was talking about the system that Oregon ran? Like, they ran the wrong system for his talents. And he said that yesterday. Chargers, the LA Chargers are taking advantage of that. right now. Tua, do you have the weapons there? You imagine you go to practice every day at Alabama. I got a first-round draft pick as my running back. First-round draft picks on the offensive line. And I've got four wide receivers who are first-round draft picks. All I got to do is run the plays. That's it. Yeah, McLevin.
But like you said, the same thing with Burrow, in a sense.
Burrow proved himself with Cincinnati.
Tua didn't have a preseason. You know, he didn't. This is really unfair, I think, to judge him because he was coming off the injury. The whole thing was all janky because of COVID. Like, doesn't he need a little more time?
No, I said he'll get it. I just haven't seen where he is that run pass. Like, the RPO was always there. And it's hard to assess some of these quarterbacks. I don't know how good Mac Jones is. I know he's unbelievable in Alabama's system. But I don't know how that translates to the NFL. Like, A.J. McCarron was a quality quarterback in college. He had really good stats. He doesn't play. He's a career backup. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I mean, but McCarron fell a lot. By the way, the weapons in L.A. are pretty good. He had good receivers. How do we know? I saw an interesting tweet. How do we know Justin Herbert isn't Carson Wentz? Everyone's anointing Justin Herbert. You heard what Rappaport just said. Isn't it a little early on Justin? I love Justin Herbert, but we jump on the hot guy, and then 3 years later, they might not pan out.
Well, it's the same thing with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, it's like, yep, he should be the number one overall pick. He's proving that. And then all of a sudden, it's as if he forgot how to play the game. Defenses, they actually do homework. They get tape on you. They understand what you do and you don't do well. And they do have a game plan against you. Yeah, see.
It's funny, too, because then even after you overcome the hype and you do still keep playing well, right? Like 3 years down the road, and you're like, wow, this guy really is good. Yeah, but it's probably the system.
No, there's actually no winning.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. We'll take a break. People have been waiting since the start of the show with phone calls. We'll get to those, our play of the day, and we'll settle on a poll question up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's gonna play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
10 seconds to play in overtime. Now Brogdon will make his move. Driving Bledsoe pulls up on the foul line. Now moves back into the lane. Right hand flip off the front of the rim. Hits the back of the rim and stays down.
That's courtesy of the Pacers Radio Network. Malcolm Brogdon, last second go-ahead floater. He's averaging a team-high 22 points per game. That's up from last year when he averaged 16.5. Play of the day brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes-Benz. You can win your very own upfitted, tricked-out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com to enter. Get official rules. You have to do so by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Jeff in Detroit leads us off. Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Good morning there, Dad, fellas. Hope everybody's doing good. Listen, I got more of a declarative statement and a question. My declarative statement, is there a team right now more dangerous in the NFL than the Baltimore Ravens? They kind of remind me of Eli and the Giants when they get that momentum going and they ended up taking out Tom Brady. It seems like they're getting hot at the right time, and that running game is something else going against the Titans, so that's going to be one damn good game. My question to you is this. With expectations so high at the beginning of the season, which team not making it to the playoffs was most disappointing, the Las Vegas Raiders or the Arizona Cardinals? Because both of them seemed like they were well on their way, and somewhere in the middle of the season, they both just tripped up and not making it into the playoffs.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I'd say the Raiders, it's year three of Gruden. I thought that Arizona was maybe a year ahead of schedule. I didn't think they would be a playoff team. I thought they would be a dangerous team. And it turns out that both of these teams, not playoff teams. 8-8's not good enough. Shouldn't be good enough for John Gruden. And I don't think John had a great year, a good year this year. 8-8. And I know you're in the AFC West. But look, Chargers weren't good. Denver wasn't good. You got Kansas City. And John's got a 10-year deal. So good luck with that. Good luck with that. But they got talent there. They do. Got a lot of talent there. Let's see. Jim in New Jersey. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good,
Happy
sir.
New Year to
Happy
you
New
and
Year.
The Danettes.
Thank you, sir.
You not only got us through sports radio for the year, but the pandemic as well. So many thanks. Anyway, 2 points. I'm a Giants fan, full disclosure.
Okay.
First about Joe Judge. He was talking to Giant fans, I think, more than anything else, and he got a good reaction. I think he does believe that stuff. And it is a little jarring for a Giants fan to hear someone from the Patriots tree talk about integrity. So I admit that. The second thing, let me make a distinction between gamesmanship and cheating. Let's say you're a horse owner. You own the best three-year-old. Fritzy, your best friend, owns the second best three-year-old. You win the Derby. His horse finished second. In the Preakness, you want to rest your horse for the Belmont. You announce that, and you put a big bet on Fritzy's horse, and it wins. No problem. If they had started Sutfeld to get some snaps, no problem. But what they did is they run their horse in the Preakness, and then at the quarter pole, they have the jockey stand up so that Fritzy's horse passes them and wins the race, and you win the bet. That's cheating. That's what my point is. And
well,
so that
well I see the point, Jim, and thanks for the phone call. I think you stretched a little too far because it's not cheating. I don't think the Eagles were trying to cheat. I just, you know, if you said Doug Peterson has money on Washington winning the NFC East, then I could understand where you might say cheating. There's no proof of that, I don't believe. But Doug Peterson is in a must-lie situation, okay? And this is what he wants to do, and I still go back to the Giants need to take care of the Giants' business. If you win more than six games, you don't have to worry about Nate Sudfeld or Doug Peterson or anybody else. That's all. You're 6-10. You didn't get screwed. Yes, Eden.
He should have said, we put out a team there that was playing as hard as they could. And we thought they gave us a chance to win. However, we also thought they gave us a good chance to lose.
I mean, imagine being a Dolphin fan. You won 10 games. You're not in the playoffs. Here are the Giants fans. You're 6-10, not 10-6.
We got robbed.
Cardinals won 8 games. Yes, Todd.
Would Peterson have been better if saying that the way he did with a straight face or did it with a little cute wink at the media? Would have happened if he did that?
I don't think Doug needs to be doing anything cute. How about just coach? He doesn't need to wink, nod, grin. Who's going to win the Heisman? Chris Fowler is hosting the award ceremony tonight. He'll join us coming up here next hour. More of your phone calls as well. One more item. We close out the first hour. It's M Drive. I probably act half my age, and there's a reason for that. I'm in good shape. Feel good. You know, you got to eat right. You get great sleep, and you work out. Got to be healthy. No plans to slow down, and that's why I started taking a supplement. It's called M Drive. Everyday supplement for driven guys. I get energized, lean and strong. Maybe not that lean and maybe not that strong, but I'm trying. And over 10 years, I think it's been, M-Drive was created by an elite scientist about 10 years ago. And he made it for himself because he was fighting back against aging. He refused to let age beat him. How do you feel? Tired, gaining weight, losing your drive? Fight back. M-Drive. Try it for yourself. Everyday supplement for driven men. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. You're going to get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with mdrive.